I want to be a professional school shooter. Let me read those words again. I want to be a professional school shooter. Unbelievable, isn't it? Those were the words of Nicholas Cruz, a ticking time bomb who let the world know what he was going to do on YouTube. Words which everybody, including law enforcement, ignored, or at least never took seriously. Because the Cruz promise threat was not taken seriously, 17 beautiful human beings, young and ready for the prime of their lives, are dead. And almost as many have been wounded, some seriously. This savage slaughter happened in Parkland, Florida, near the town of Fort Lauderdale at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. That's one of the very best in the state of Florida, and perhaps the entire U.S. of A. This tragic event happened on Valentine's Day, a day where all of Florida, and in fact our entire country, celebrated love. But in Parkland, there was nothing but evil. Cupid's arrow had been replaced by Satan's. 17 beautiful, young children died. But this killer, this mass killer Cruz, lived. He lived. Mr. Cruz is in jail now and will be for the rest of his life, however long that is. A very dear friend of mine who lives in Parkland, Florida, sent his three children to that very school. In fact, his youngest daughter graduated from the Parkland High School just last year. In her senior year in 2017, she attended the very first class where her classmates were slaughtered. My friend and his daughter are Jewish, and ironically, the class of students where the killings took place was centered upon, are you ready for this, an historical approach to the Holocaust. The Holocaust. Some thought that the Cruz motivation might have been anti-Semitic, but that will probably never be known. All that really matters is that 17 innocent, life-loving teenagers were slaughtered. Gunned down by this savage man, himself a teenager. One year earlier, an Emily Rothenberg, daughter of my friend, would have been dead, along with the others. But one who was murdered was Meadow Jane Pollock, just 18 years of age, a senior who had looked forward so much to attending college, this very fall at Lynn University in Boca Raton, Florida. Meadow Pollock was a friend, a close one of Emily Rothenberg, and her parents, the Pollocks, were very close friends of my friends, the Rothenbergs. I saw Mark Rothenberg the morning after the shootings. He had been awake for more than 30 straight hours. He was emotionally distraught, tearful, even sobbing, for ahead of him and the Pollocks was a bitter funeral. The very next day, and then the beginning of a healing process which might never end. The Pollocks, surrounded by the love of the Rothenbergs, had to bury Meadow, the youngest of 10 grandchildren. This precious little girl, whom they called Princess, she was killed by Nicholas Cruz, and her family would never be the same. Meadow Pollock's oldest brother was devastated. He said, "I always looked out for her. I wanted to be the older, protective brother my whole life, and I feel like I failed." And then he went on to say, "So, all I can do is hope that he gets what he deserves," referring, of course, to Cruz. This mass killer, this professional shooter-up of children in schools, was a troubled teenager. Cruz himself attended this very school, and he was expelled from the school after threatening other students, including his former girlfriend. He threatened classmates, even teachers, before his expulsion. He often posted about guns and killing animals on Instagram. Anyone who knew him was afraid of him. Local law enforcement authorities knew about Cruz and his violent tendencies, and so did the FBI. But nothing was done. Nothing. Cruz was even allowed to purchase an AR-15 automatic rifle and large amounts of ammunition without question. He practiced loading and unloading his rifle with that ammunition. He was ready for the slaughter, ready to be that professional school shooter, which apparently no one saw coming. These young Parkland High School teenagers, so skilled in digital and social media, they had the presence of mind to text their parents, even as this slaughter was occurring. One teenager facing death texted the following to her parents, If I don't make it, I love you. I love you. Can you believe that? What a heart-wrenching message for a parent to receive on Valentine's Day, no less. And another text from one of these students, murdered by Cruz. We are in a real code red, Dad. Get me ASAP. It's not a drill. It's for real. And that text went out perhaps seconds before he was murdered, shot dead by Nicholas Cruz. And another student said goodbye to her parents, just in case something happens to me. She said, if I don't make it, I love you, and I appreciate everything you did for me. Oh, wow. Aren't they unbelievably powerful words? How interesting and wonderful it is that even in the face of death, some of the final thoughts of these brave and innocent teenagers was all about love. And love, especially on Valentine's Day. Three of the 17 who died were teachers at the school. They died heroes, trying to save the students they taught and loved. One was a coach by the name of Aaron Feese, who the Broward County Sheriff's Department said died protecting others. Another was geography teacher Scott Beagle. He took the assassin's bullet meant for the students as he pushed the last student inside his classroom and locked the door. The third was athletic director and wrestling coach Chris Hickson, the kind of coach his students said who would give his life for his students. And he did just that. Heroes all. Oh, boy, are they ever. Heroes, these three, never to be forgotten for the lives they saved. And then there was heroic teacher Shanti Viswanathan, lovingly known as Mrs. V, teachers of algebra at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. This brave woman ordered students to the floor in a corner of her classroom, and then she put paper over the door's windows so that no one could see inside, including and especially the shooter. This brave woman saved the lives of any number of these dear children, and I say God bless her. That very day, the old debate began. Guns, said the radical left, all of them should be banned. And, of course, the Second Amendment repealed and done away with. There should be no right to bear arms, whether for recreation or protection, no right at all. But if not, if that can't happen, at the very least, they said, the ownership of guns should be aggressively controlled, including the right to own them, and to qualify for such ownership. Anyone, they say, with a criminal past, incidents with the law, and especially those who may be mentally or emotionally disturbed, should not be allowed to purchase guns. And they go on to say, these critics, that assault weapons, like an AK-47 automatic rifle, and larger and more dangerous weapons should be outlawed and never sold. And there are many who agree. How about you? Do you agree with that? What is your thinking about guns? Would you regulate them? Would you control their sale and usage? And the debate goes on. There are plaintiff calls to Congress, to the Republican majorities, and even to President Trump to do something, anything to solve this problem and provide greater protection for the American people. One parent wrote President Trump the following, "You said, President Trump, you said you would change things. You promised us last year that this American carnage stops right here and stops right now. Now, well, President Trump, this lady wrote, your weeping country is waiting." Boy, what a challenge that is. But Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, said that now is not the time to have a discussion on the Second Amendment issues. You know, that in many ways is hard to comprehend, don't you think? Why is this not the time? I think now should be the time for rational, sensible, fair-minded discussions. Something needs to be done. And yet another parent wrote the following about the Parkland slaughter. Are we really surprised that if you remove God and moral values and any sense of right and wrong from children, that they grow up with none of these? Are we surprised? And there are many who believe that this, in fact, is the real problem. The real problem. The underlying causative problem. Not the guns, but those who own and use them. That America will pay now and forevermore because of its goodbye to God. I'll tell you what, I believe that. How about you? And another parent wrote the following. One thing needs to be added. Students with mental health issues like Nicholas Cruz, with violent pasts and social and emotional disorders, must not be allowed in regular school settings. They need intensive counseling and treatment, which are not available in regular educational settings. Boy, I'll tell you what, I surely agree with that. How about you? Do you? I think it's true. Teenagers with special needs need special attention. So much of America seems ill-equipped or unwilling to invest the time, the effort, and the money in such treatment, such special education and counseling which these severely troubled teenagers need, whether the absence of morality or treatment. This problem cannot be solved. The problems of mass murders and slaughters and the misuse of guns cannot be solved unless the absence of morality is dealt with and the treatment of mental illness is improved. They think it is really not the guns, but the users of the guns. Well, I don't know about you, my friends, but I sure agree with that. And yet another parent wrote the following. The real problem is the gradual, systematic breakdown of human and family values and the erosion of morality. There's another vote for the erosion of morality and the goodbye to God as the real causative problems, but also the breakdown of the family. The family in modern America has, in fact, broken down. You know that. There is little of family, whether love or discipline, from mother and father in so many cases. And children pay a severe price for that. Indeed they do. Whether breakdown or family, whether morality and the absence thereof, whether goodbye God, the inability to know right from wrong in a world of anything goes can well be the real problem. Small wonder to me there comes a Nicholas Cruz and the Parkland slaughter. What seems to be missing more than anything is the greatest force and energy in this world. And that is love, real love, love even beyond Valentine's Day, a godly love, the love of God, that love implanted in the heart so that it no longer stands on its own, this heart which tends to deceit and wickedness. But there comes with this godly love a heart transformed by real love. Christians would boldly state that such a love is the love of God in the person of Jesus Christ. For many, that's the only answer, the only real answer. And then comes, with that, the return of morality, the caring for real strong counseling and treatment, the restoration of family built upon love, providing the structure which the young people in our society so desperately need. All the laws in the world will never change the human heart, including the banning of guns, nor will they make it any better. Law enforcement can increase and even do its job better, but even that is not the answer. Unless the heart of mankind, as Billy Graham so well said, God bless you, sir, unless the heart of mankind changes, the Parkland shootings will go on elsewhere. The Torah, the Old Testament gives us as one of the great Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. No matter this admonition, we do continue to kill, for life can never have its true value without love, without morality, without compassion and concern for the other. What the world needs now, as the old song so well says, is love. But real love, a godly, changing love, which makes the heart right and guns irrelevant. Guns are not the problem. The heart is. If not guns, there are knives, bombs, runaway cars and trucks, poisons, and any other instruments of killing. If a person wants to kill, that person will find a way, unless the heart is right. My heart goes out to Parkland, as I am sure yours does. To the families, the survivors of those 17 innocent and wonderful human beings who were slaughtered by Nicholas Cruz, and to all those who were wounded, and to those who were scarred mentally and emotionally, perhaps for the rest of their lives. I think about them, and I pray for them, as I am sure millions do, and I hope you do. And I pray for God's healing mercies on all, and with a further prayer that these massacres will end once and for all. The teenagers, knowing they would die, knowing that, wanted their parents and their families to know that they loved them in their final moments. Love was on the mind and in the heart when death came to 17 innocent lives. That love, that real love, that's the only answer, my friends. It's the only one. It's the only answer to the problem of mass killings.